Hello, everybody, and welcome to a new episode of the Unscripted Pulpit. This is Austin. So glad you could be here. We are so humbly blessed, as always, to have this opportunity to get to speak with you all and bring you what's on our hearts and our minds. Plug just a little bit here. Want y'all to be sure to check us out on our website, www.theunscriptedpulpit.com. Also, be sure to check us out on Facebook at the THEX, just the letter X, Pulpit. Meta wouldn't let us put Unscripted in there, so we kind of had to make do with the X. Be sure to give us a follow on there. Also, please, 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 you wouldn't care, phone a friend, call a friend, tell a friend, get them on the phone as well, so that hopefully we can be able to go live on Facebook and YouTube, different things of that nature. Planning some giveaways. Don't want to tell too much about that till we get some kinks ironed out. But for the meantime, we got to get those followers up. So be sure to check us out. On our website, you're going to see some multiple different tabs. Once we get a little bit more settled in, we get our following together, we'll quit talking so much about our website and everything. Just kind of mention it once or twice and not go through it. But for right now, we want to make sure everybody's comfortable with our website. When you first get there, you'll see our homepage. It'll tell you about who we are, what we're about. You'll also see all of our logos. We have three different logos. One is a blue, just says the Unscripted Pulpit. The other is more of like a cream or brown color. Has mine and Brother Jeremiah's names on it. Has our name on it. Has our podcast name on it. Our company name. And then we also have another one, which is called Pen and Praise. And that is a little pen and scroll. Can't miss it. All of our logos, though, are right there on that homepage. Make a mental note of those just simply because of the fact that we want to be certain that everything we do is logoed. With all the scams and everything else, we don't want nobody to deal with a bunch of craziness there. But when you get on our website, that first page, like I said, you'll see our logos, a little bit about us. Our Where to Listen tab is next down the list. It gives you a direct link to our Facebook, Spotify, Podbean. Podbean, you can listen on Spotify. Truthfully, I would prefer that you would from an analytic kind of professional standpoint. But Podbean is on there because that is what distributes our stuff out to everybody, all the different platforms. Also, a link on YouTube. We are hoping to have our podcast on YouTube as well, a little bit easier to use than Spotify. Then we'll also be able to do live broadcasts on there, as well as put some videos and different montages together. Next up on that, you'll have news and press releases. That's where you're going to hear all things about us, stuff that's going on, you know, different things that are happening. If something happens, we can't do an episode this week or next week or whatever, we'll put that on there. Also, down below that, you'll see a form. You fill that form out, put your name, your phone number, your email, all your contact information on there. That will put you in our lineup for our newsletter. Those, when we start doing giveaways, you will definitely want to be part of that because that is how we will get names for our giveaways. One of the ways we will get names for our giveaways. And then also there'll be a question on there for you to be able to sign up to be on the show. We're actually going to post here on Facebook here in just a moment that we are currently live recording, give people the opportunity to possibly call in if they want to be part of the show. We're going to start doing that as well. You'll also see Cadell Publishing. I almost said that wrong. That is where Brother Jeremiah has a link to his book. He has wrote a book, a very wonderful book, and you can go on there and purchase it, read about it. Pen and Praise, that is Sister Sarah's blog. Hoping that she will have a new one released very, very soon. But you will find those on there. Those are kind of, the focal point of those are to our female listeners, give you ladies something a little bit more in-depth and spiritual from Sister Sarah. You also see other tabs up there other than the ones that I've mentioned. My favorite tab personally is We Will Save You a Seat. It is our goal in life to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. And this is our kind of platform to do that. But also in the Save You a Seat tab, if you don't have a home church, don't call someplace home. We offer you an invitation to come and join us. That all of our church, personal churches information is on there as well. Again, we thank you all so much for joining. We hope that this sounds a lot better than maybe the first two. We have sunk a lot of time, money, and effort into a new studio. We're sitting here below some pretty bright lights, backdrops, and fancy microphones, and we're just two backwoods country kids that are trying to put this together. So may not sound right, may not sound great. We're still gonna work some kinks out and stuff. We would love to hear from you though. If you're experiencing issues, if you're having problems listening, or maybe the volume is low, then what we see on our end is live recording. So I've got all these little green bars jumping up in front of me here. And we can only do so much. So we want to make sure that if you are having any problems, that you let us know that, so that we can get those addressed. But that is enough about me. I am here joined by my co-host, my colleague, my the wind of my rain, or no, not the wind of my rain. What was that song? Oh, the wind of my sail. There you go. The wind of my sail, and my co-host and best buddy, Brother Jeremiah Cadell. We will turn it over to him and let him have at it and see what he's got to go with you tonight. Kind of feeling a little on the tired end of life, so I'm gonna let him take care of most of tonight's. I'll throw my two cents in where needed, but at this point, we'll give it to him. Let the Lord use him, see what he wants to talk about tonight. But again, we're so glad you're here. We hope that tonight we can bring you something that you'll enjoy listening to as we slowly progress and make waves in this podcasting business. So, Brother Jeremiah, I'll give it to you.
Thank you, Brother Austin. Austin is my best friend, and I think the world of him. It was, something we had both prayed about for a while of where God was taking us next. And if you ever ask God for something, He'll give it to you a hundredfold. But it seems like the journey to get there can be the most arduous journey that you'll ever go on. You ever ask God for something, you don't think He listens to you, and then all of a sudden, God starts throwing things down like, here you go. You asked, here it is. And a part of that asking is a part, another part of this podcast. There's going to be times when me and Austin are both wore out, tired, ready to go to bed. But the ministry goes on as ministers. And as brothers in Christ, we have a responsibility not only to ourselves, not only to God, but to every person we interact with on a daily basis. And we're unscripted, so I have a few places I'd like to read tonight, but I would like to preface that with a story. The other night, my wife's grandmother, who is an extension of my own family, so she's my grandmother, was up at the hospital. I'm not going to mention any names because I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings or anything. But anyways, we were up at the hospital, and she had something, a health issue pop up, and she didn't know what it was. She was freaked out. She was concerned, and all manner you can imagine. Anytime you're in the hospital, it's just the scariest thing, because especially in the emergency room, you see people wheeled in on gurneys and then wheeled out in bags, and it is a scary place to be. Many, many times I've been in a hospital and I get nauseous. I get dizzy because I'm not even the one in there that's getting work done, but it just makes me nauseous, makes me dizzy. I don't like it. But while she was in there, Of course, the emergency room is going to be busy. I've never been in a single one that hasn't been busy. And I imagine if I ever went into one that was dead, I'd probably go right back out because that's just what it is. There's all kinds of chaos, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. There's always going to be something going on there. But anyways, the longer we were there, which she had gotten there earlier in the afternoon, and I didn't get there till late, and the atmosphere was very heavy, as you would expect in an emergency room. There was many, many people there that I'm positive were not saved. But Sarah's grandma, she was very, very scared and anxious and didn't know what was going on. And we began to pray over her. And you could feel the Spirit of God in that place, Brother Austin. And it come down and got a hold of all of us there. And there was another minister there. And I don't have permission to use his name, so I'm not going to. But he began to pray over her and to talk to God and ask of him to heal her. And he did. Whenever I had gotten there at 9 o'clock, they were giving her morphine. And he wasn't even touching the pain. But when God showed up, not only did the pain go away, but the spot went away. And there was a doctor that was on the emergency room floor, and there were nurses that were doing tests and different things. And at the end of the night, at about 12 o'clock, there was a calm in that emergency room that didn't exist in there when I had first arrived, and that was God. And in that pursuit of having God take care of a situation that only God could take care of, it was an amazing sight to see. Because as I spoke earlier, when I had arrived at that emergency room, it was chaotic and crazy and people were running back and forth. But when God stepped on the scene, things calmed down because that's what God can do. And, not everyone's going to agree with what you believe and different things. They're going to have a rational explanation of what happened. It wasn't to them in science, it wasn't anything other than, it just happened. It's a coincidence, but I know that it was God. And part of what I wanted to talk about tonight was after Thelma had received her prayer, Sarah's grandma. After she had received her prayer and received her healing, she said, "I'm not going to speak anything else over me because I know that God has changed the situation." And we, me and her, were having this conversation back and forth. And I said that it was good that she wasn't going to speak anything over her because we have what's called an unruly tongue. It's what it's called in James. Our tongue is called unruly because it can speak life and death over us. And that's part of what I wanted to read tonight. It come to me, this scripture, and it's in James chapter 3. And it talks about the unruly tongue. And in James chapter 3, verse 1, it says, "My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. For in many things that we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body." Now that's a powerful, powerful thing right there. "Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold also the ships, which, though they be so great and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. Even so the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, verse 6, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. For every kind of beast, and of birds, and of serpents, and of things in the sea is tamed, and hath been tamed of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Doeth a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries, either a vine, figs? So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh. Just reading that portion of scripture, we learn that the tongue is unruly, and that it can speak life and death over us. And while I was in that emergency room, there was a room across the hall, and the preacher that had prayed over Sarah's, my grandmother, had prayed over her, had also walked to the next room, and there was no one in it at the time, and he prayed over that the entryway of that room. And I don't know why he did that, but as he was praying, I was praying with him. And later that evening, after they had done left, and we were waiting on the doctors to come back, and they told Grandma that she had all she had was an infection that they could treat with antibiotics. There was a woman that had went into that room, and whenever she entered into the hospital that night, she was struggling with anxiety and depression and thoughts of suicide. And when she walked into that threshold, she no longer had an anxious thought. She no longer wanted to hurt herself. And then after, you know, after seeing me and Grandma sitting in the hallway, she seen that happiness, and she instinctively come and opened the door and sat there and talked to me and Grandma about God. She said, whenever I got up this morning, I was so tired, I didn't want to go on another day. And every part of the day, I kept pushing myself to keep going. And by the end of tonight, about 8:30, I just wanted to end it all. She said, but something told me to drive to the hospital. So I did. And I went through all the hoops that you have to go through when you go to the hospital. I told them what I was thinking, what I was feeling, and they brought me in the emergency room. And she said I had every intention of telling that doctor that I didn't want nothing that he was going to give me, that I had my mind made up that nothing could stop me, that I was going to kill myself. But whenever I stepped into that room, she said everything was brighter, everything was better. And she said, I don't know who you are, she said, but I think you're still here because I needed to talk to you. As Christians, you know, there's going to be people that we come across that we don't know from Adam, that want us to tell them all the good things that God can do because they don't hear it anywhere else. And the point that I'm making with that scripture that I read was we have the power within our tongue to speak life and death over things. But if we choose God, we're speaking life into it. If we're picking things that we want to do, like for example, I didn't want to be at the hospital till 1, 2 o'clock in the morning. I'll just be honest with you, I'd worked a full shift and I was ready to go home. But God kept me there because there was somebody there that needed to hear what God had done in that little hallway. Because Grandma is 84 years old, and they left her in the hallway the whole time. And I, you know, looking back, I'm kind of glad that they did, because we've seen countless sick people roll in and out of there. And I'll be honest with you, I am a faith believing, God Almighty, Christian, but I didn't want her put in one of them rooms. But there was a purpose to it all. There was a purpose to it all. And I could have said, well, I'm just going to go home, Grandma. I'm sorry. I'm tired. I need to go home and go to bed. She would have been fine with it. But I could have missed out on a blessing because of something that I spoke out. And there have been countless times where I have seen people who have witnessed the glory of God reaching down and touching a sweet, person that needed prayer, and then them walk away and say, well, I think I've still got this. No, God took care of that for you. Praise God and go on. And that unruly tongue, it can do a lot of damage really quick. And there's another spot that I'd like to read to you also while I've got it on my mind. And I feel like this book is just underreported. I don't know how many times I've heard preaching on Jonah and the whale and Daniel in the lion's den and David fighting the giant. I don't know how many times I've heard it. But before we started this podcast tonight, I was looking back in my Bible, and God said, stop right there. So I stopped right here. And as I began to read, I was amazed. You know, I think I've probably heard it a few times, but not a whole bunch. And what I would like to transition to is Jude 1. And just to kind of go back over what we just talked about, we talked about the unruly tongue and how it can speak life and death over us. And part of what I wanted to read about also was Jude. Now, Jude is a very good book. And one of the first parts of it is earnest contention of the faith. And I've heard this many, many times. And it kind of goes hand in hand with what I just read. To earnestly contend for the faith is to courageously and diligently strive to defend, preserve, and proclaim the core tenets of Christian belief that were delivered once and for all to the saints. The nature of contending, and I had to look this up, the Greek word for earnestly contend suggests intense, zealous, and potentially combative effort similar to a skilled wrestler defending against and overcoming an opponent. Jude, which was what I was going to read, the biblical author, he felt a profound sense of urgency to address error and false teachings within the church, prompting his exhortation to his readers. The word earnestly highlights the need for diligence, passion, and unwavering commitment in this defense of truth. This faith is a mutually shared inheritance provided by God rather than a man-made system. So, I'm just looking in that. You know, you have to ask yourself, why are we contending for the faith? Why are we doing it? We're doing it to protect it, to uphold God's truth. We're living out a passionate commitment to God by contending for the faith. And we're also doing that to ensure that it's passed on to our grandchildren, great-grandchildren. And in Jude, it talks about keeping yourselves in God's love. And it starts in verse 17. It says, "But beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ. How that they told you there should be mockers in the last time who should walk after their own ungodly lusts. These be they who separate themselves, sensual, having not the Spirit. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Keep yourselves." This is what verse 21 says. It says, "Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And of some have compassion, making a difference. And others saved with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garments spotted by the flesh. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling, and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen." And now, I do want to draw back to verse 19. It says, "They who separate themselves." Now, the author, Jude, seems to have in mind their tendency to be schismatic or divisive, to set forth notions and then separate themselves and their followers from those who hold to the faith. And then in verse 20, it says, you know, "But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost." And I feel like a lot of times our solution for error is not simply to pull back from wrong, but also to be built up in what is right, especially through clinging to God in prayer. We have to get in the mindset that God is above all things, and that he can, he will, and he has going to keep moving in our lives. And it's not something that we're going to be, that's going to be readily available at the time, but that over time and with consistent prayer and getting in the right mindset of being in his presence, that he's going to move mountains for us. I feel like a lot of times, I am a direct representation of this. I tend to be a little, I wouldn't say frightened, but tend to be a little backwards, because sometimes I'll talk to God about something, and he'll say, "I'll move it." And I expect him to move like that, but he doesn't. And the reason why he's not doing that, I believe, is because he's setting things in motion. And a lot of times he will give you the tools that you need to do what you, the job you need to do, and we forget that we're holding them in our hands. I feel like I am definitely guilty of this. In verse 21, it says, here Jude stresses our role in being kept. Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Most likely, I feel like it's most likely to denote in here that God's own role and ability in keeping his children in his grasp. And in verse 23, "And others say with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh." And I feel like so important in keeping one's own faith active. What's truly important and how to do that is serving others, even when there's danger involved in it. I felt like that night in the emergency room, whenever I was ministered not only to grandma, but also to that lady that was having these issues, I felt like I wouldn't say all the staff, but one of the doctors there just was not having it. He did not like it. He just He just didn't. And I got that. And I actually made the joke to grandma. I said, well, we're going to get kicked out of here before the night's over. And that's okay. I'll see you at the door. But when non-believers see God move, it challenges their ability to justify it. And people like that don't like that. And if they have enough power in the situation, they're just going to dismiss you and go on because it's hooey. To them, it is. But to us, it's not. I had someone pull me out of the fire once. And, at the time, I didn't want to understand why they were doing it. I wanted to live my life. I wanted to do what I wanted to do, and I didn't care at what cost that was going to cost me. And it wasn't till later that whenever I finally accepted the call in my life to do what God had ordained me to do, that I realized that I wish I had come to God sooner. But it takes that pulling out of the fire to change our mindset. A lot of times, if you talk to someone who works out every day, they have a mindset that they want to be better today than they were yesterday. I don't know how many people. I'd say on the high side, I'd say in the 20 or 30 people that I know that go to the gym and work out every day consistently, they have a plan for all of that work, just like we need to have a plan for all the work that God gives us. It's not just about going to church. And I know a lot of you are probably hanging on and you're probably thinking, well, where is he going with this? But I promise, this is not where I wanted to read tonight, but this is where God told me to read, and that I'm going to keep doing what He tells me to do. And I may be running a little long-winded, and that's not something that I'm usually known for, but just hang on, hold on. You got to be the one to pull someone out of the fire, and let's see if a best way of saying this, you can't pull them out of the fire by yourself. You got to have something backing you up because, and I will tell you this, because this is a story that was told to me. There was a pastor's wife that on her way home from work one day, she was getting off the interstate at the Williamsburg exit, and she seen a man standing by the sign. And God told her to pick that man up. Take him home, to feed him, to clothe him, and then to drop him back off. And she was not a person that would do that normally because there's so much crazy going on in this world. But the Spirit told her, said, pick up that man, take him home, feed him and clothe him, and then bring him back and drop him off. So she did. She stopped the car. She rolled down her window, said, get in the car. He got in the car. They drove home. She fed him. She put new clothes on him, put new socks on him, even gave him a pair of her husband's old boots that he was going to throw away. And she put him back in the car. She was driving back across the road to where she picked him up at. And as she was dropping him off, he looked at her and he said, ma'am, you don't know me from Adam. He said, I just got out of prison for murder and I was guilty of it. He said, I did what they said I did. And he said, you showed me more kindness than a lot of the Christians that I ever knew. And the result of that was he ended up getting saved and changing his life. And now, and last I heard, and I don't know him personally, but last I knew, he is actually running a ministry out of Tennessee. I think it's kind of like Turning Point, but it's something similar. It's not called that. It's called something else. But she was able to pull him out of the fire and give him a ministry and give him, you know, hope that, you know, we're not confined to the things that we've done in the past. Now, a lot of you probably haven't done something as bad as that. And you know, you can say, well, you know, I'm not a murderer, you know, and I still don't know what my plan is, and that's okay. You know, I'm 31 and never thought I would be right here where I'm at on a podcast with my best friend talking about God. I never thought that was possible. I never thought I would be in a church where I would feel the Holy Spirit each and every time I was in service and be so close to greatness each and every time we were in service. But here we sit. I never thought that I would have a wife that loves God as much as she loves me. I never had that in a relationship to where they loved God as much as they loved me. I never had that. And that's something to be thankful for. That's something to strive for more of. And I always get stuck on that verse, and it says, another saved with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. Because, you know, we all had someone that was doing that for us. And I think somewhere along the way, we've forgotten. I say some of us have forgotten what the end game is. It's more than just getting in your butt on Sunday morning at church. It's more than making sure your suit tie matches your suit that you're wearing. It's more than that. And I thank God for everything that he's done and everything that he's going to do. I hope that this reading tonight has helped somebody. Lord knows it helped me whenever I was reading this. It helps me because, you know, I think a lot of times we forget where God has brought us from, where he's taken us. One day, if we just hold fast and keep the faith, that we build up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Now, that is something that I 100% believe. And the only way you can build yourself up is with God. You can't do anything by yourself. If you think you can, you're crazy. Because nothing happens. Nothing happens. God created us from nothing. And I don't know how many of you are in healthcare. But I feel this, but if you just look at your hand, there are so many bones in your hand that each control a different function. When you make a fist, when you just open your hand up, when you move your hands, that is not something that I could figure out how to do, but that's something God knew to do. He brought us up from nothing. He gave us a brain that can send signals out the body and everything. But if you want to build, you got to build with the right materials. And I don't mean to ramble, and I'm not trying to, but I feel like God's making a point here. You can't build with the wrong materials. If you're building a house, you need the right materials. If you're building with God, you need the right materials. You need the faith. You need the supplication. You need the prayer. You need the fasting. You need all those things to keep building in God. If you don't have one of those things, you need to find an altar. You know, I've said this before. I'm sure Brother Austin would agree. If you can't get to an altar, find somewhere in your home where you can go and be one with God. Because you've got to have the right materials for the job in order to build what you want to build with God. If you want to be a minister or if you want to be a teacher, you've got to have the right materials to go before God with. You got to have the mindset that I'm going to do this in your name, God, no matter when I'm tired, no matter when I'm sleepy, no matter whatever's going on in my life, I've got to have the right materials to do what he's called me to do. And if I don't have them, I'm not building. That's the core thing behind all this. And while you're building, you're going to hear things from around you of people saying, well, I don't think he's called. And that's something I struggled with whenever I first got called to preach. And, you know, I was a bit soft-spoken, and, you know, a lot of times I still can be. But whenever I first got called to preach, I had someone tell me, they said, well, I just never thought you'd be called to be a preacher. And that broke me. That broke my heart. And it destroyed me. And it was from someone that I loved and trusted. And I just could not believe it. And it broke me. And my wife even, she was like, well, you can't listen to everybody. You can't listen to what everybody says. If God called you to do something, he called you to do it. There wasn't a conference call where multiple people were there like, he can't do that. He was drinking 3 months ago or 6 months ago, or he was partying, or he was seen going into the casino. He can't be a preacher. You know, God sets the standards, and we have to set ourselves apart. And when we have that change, when we ask God to come into our lives, there's going to be a change. There's going to be a change to where we're no longer wanting the things that we wanted whenever we weren't living right. And we're not going to desire those things. But in order to do all that, we've got to have the right materials for the job. And we also, and like I had spoke previously of, about that unruly member, member that can speak life and death over us. We can't be off to the side saying, well, I just, you know, I think this was a mistake. Because then it is. Or, I can't do this. Then you can't do it. Or God heals someone of an affliction or a disease that there shouldn't be one too. And they look at you and say, well, I guess I'm not healed. Well, guess what? You're not. Because you have the ability to speak life and death over things. And if I could leave you with anything, I pray for each and every person that's listening to this podcast tonight that whenever you start building with God, that you have your right materials. And you find those materials in this book. It lays it all out for you. Now, sometimes you'll be reading and there'll be a parable that you don't quite understand. I urge you to pray to God and ask Him for understanding, because He'll give you understanding of things that you don't understand. I have known preachers over the years that didn't have more than a sixth grade education that get up and preach and be the best preaching you ever heard. They may stutter, they may, you know, forget where they're at, but it was some of the best preaching I ever heard. Because it wasn't about them, it was about God. And I just ask all of you all to have that compassion that Jude was talking about, that you can make a difference, that you can pull people out of the fire, and that you can look past those things and see God in it. And that's what I have for tonight, Brother Austin.
Sorry about that. I had a cough there. I think you made a whole lot of good points. I really and honestly, I don't have a lot that I, you know, I really don't have anything I'd add to that. Most importantly, the outcome of what we do and say here is that we would be of some type of encouragement or help, and be that voice of reason We don't have any motive for this. You know, what we say and do is solely up to where God leads. What God wants us to do. That's why we were so strong on the emphasis of being unscripted. If you listen to our last episode, when I named it and gave it its title, I just put something along the line of fish, stones, and construction and name changes. Because we covered about four topics. And just like, you know, Brother Jeremiah tonight, you know, he had his thoughts in one place, but God said, nope, we're going this way. We don't plan to sit here and ramble and carry on about something. It's our due diligence to do as the Lord directs us. And I like that. I liked where you went with it, and I greatly appreciated it. A little bit shorter of an episode tonight, which is actually beneficial to us, just for the sake of we might be able to get another one recorded, give you all another surprise episode. But most importantly, we thank you all for listening. We cannot do what we do without you. So please like, subscribe, tell a friend, help us get to a point where we are able to help others, but also get us to a point where we are able to share the word a little bit further. It's our job as Christians to go into the highways and the byways and you know, give the word, give the gospel to people. And if we are not able to do that, then we are not doing what we are set aside to do. But again, we thank you all for listening. We're so glad you could join us. If you wouldn't care, tell a friend. The more people we can get on here, the more stuff that we can do, where we're not sitting here just rambling or talking. And, you know, and like Brother Jeremiah said, there's going to be some of these episodes where all you may hear is me, all you may hear is him. We both work completely off the wall schedules and just a crazy life in general. So, we appreciate y'all joining us, and we hope that you'll join us next time for another episode of the Unscripted Pool.